hot down here. So, oh, there's a lot of things going for them right now. So they're not dead. And we're not have to explain why they're dead.
On Tuesday night in Lafayette, it was 97.
That's what my kids were. I was talking.
In Lafayette.
97 at what time of day?
By 6 o'clock.
Holy
weird.
Gross, man. I might be still
on my. We were over there.
Huh?
Tuesday morning, we took off, and at my house, it was 65. This is at 6:30. We start up the mountain toward East Lake, and we get up, halfway, and the temperature's coming up.
Hmm.
I'm thinking, this is odd. We drop into East Lake, it went to
52.
Oh, wow. It's just an inversion, and it's sitting right there.
Once the sun starts going down over there, it's a whole nother bear.
Yeah,
AKA flat gets cold quick.
Well, yeah, because it was. Oh.
We're talking fishing.
I know.
And weather patterns.
We're going to bring this meeting to order Thursday, July 30th, 2020, at 3 p.m. Can you roll call Danielle, please?
Sharon.
Here.
Richard.
Here.
Roy.
Here.
Ken Range and Joe Spear are not present.
So we do have a quorum. We do have one addition to add to the agenda. Our manager, Gary Dillinger, wants to add the memorial, the Indian Memorial fence under informational items. Can I get a motion to add that to the agenda?
I'll make a motion to add the Indian Memorial to the agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Under informational items.
Oh, under the information items.
Richard, we got a second from Richard for Sharon's motion. Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. At this point in time, we'll give the board members a chance if there are any declaration of potential conflict of interest. Richard?
No.
Sharon?
No.
Roy?
No.
Roy? May want to add one more item for information item in case the board wants to talk about the dredging that's coming in August.
Yeah, I would like to know what a calm dredge is.
Clam.
Okay. I thought so.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so we want to add under informational items. Dredging information?
Yeah, information B.
Okay. Information item B, we want to add dredging information. Gary Dillinger will give that presentation to the board. Can I get a motion to add that to the information items on the agenda?
I think we make a motion we add information about the clam dredge to the information item as item B under information items.
Can I get a motion?
Second.
Second. Thank you, Sharon. Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, can we get an approval of the agenda as amended? Can I get a motion?
Motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay, Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. No public comment? Excuse me. Moving on to numeral 4, action items. We'll do action item A, procurement approval for seal coating and striping boat launch ramp parking lot. Gary?
So the board wanted us to fix a couple quotes and get some more information on the material that was the seal coat material. So we did that. So we have the revised quotes in the packet. Travis can probably give you some more details if you want to gather the information.
So I talked to Jack as well. He recommends two coats across it. We did one coat when we did out here. Jack recommends two coats, and Strom highly recommended two coats. So that will be a decision. It's $5,276 difference. The two closer bidders are using Armor Seal Pavement Sealer A100, and their data sheets are attached with it. The Rocky Mountain Constructions, they're a lot more expensive, and I kind of boiled that down to is that the brand that they're using, Seal Master, a different kind of brand that's a lot more expensive. It's just something, Jack said that the A100 Armor Seal is sufficient, so, if there's any other questions, we gave you right there on the front page on the procurement request, Strom's was the, low bidder, $19,326 for two coats. The single coat's $14,050.
Are Strom's and Renfro bidding on the same square footage?
Yes, we had, they both resubmitted, well, Strom's bid, they were confident in what they did and as an overage for what they wanted to have in there. The rest of them, we called them again, we had them bid again at the reason they got them different, well, I sent them all the plans where it clearly said the square footage on there, and then they decided to use Google Earth, which isn't a current picture even of what our launch ramp is. So they drew the box around that, and that's how they said that they got their square footage. And I was like, well, it's not even the same picture anymore. So they resent us new quotes. They're right there, Renfro. He switched his proposal right there to the square footage that we're asking for. So page 12 on the bottom right-hand corner number. And so did the other fitter, but he was a lot higher still. He only came down, I think, $4,000. He was still at $32,000, almost $33,000.
So,
and he switched his square footage to the 85,550 as well.
So are these Renfro Striping and Rocky Mountain Construction? They're from out of town, Travis?
They're from out of town, yeah.
And can you tell me where each one of them are from?
Rocky Mountain is out of Klamath Falls.
Long ways, okay.
And Renfro, I believe, is out Phoenix, Oregon is where their address is, but
okay,
I think
so
that's
south
by
Medford.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're
from Medford.
Yeah.
So they're going to charge us a bunch of money for just mobilization.
Well, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, he went back to it. The price difference, you know, when it comes down to a single coat, ended up being $3,000. You know, they were, Sean was $14,050. He, Renfro was $17,268. The second coat was more, he's a lot more expensive on the second coat. He was 10 cents a square foot on the second coat, which came to $8,500. For the second coat versus Strom's at the $5,000. So, I mean, there are a couple thousand dollars, you know, within each other. And he was saying that he was coming over here to do another job at some point anyway. So that's why he even gave us a reasonable quote, is because he was going to be over here and he was going to see if he could get it in. I would imagine Rocky Mountain's quote has something to do with how far away they are. I mean, that's $14,000 more expensive.
What are their schedules like, Travis? Who can get to us?
I didn't really ask schedule. I know it's going to get done this year, you know, and it's got to happen before the weather turns too bad. So I'm hoping to have it done here probably by August, September at the latest. I think if we wait any longer past September, it can be iffy.
What do you think, Sharon?
Well, probably after salmon season would be best. We're so busy over there, so late September, whatever.
After Labor Day would be the best possible, but that's right. And a lot of stuff. Is there any cautionary thing about Strom's that we should know about, or?
It's his son that's, you know, running the business right now.
I mean, as far as you know, they're fine.
As far as I know, they're still working. I know they're still doing jobs around town, and they just did the Fifth Street clinic there, the back door of that. So, as far as I know, I don't have any reason why we shouldn't, you know, award the low bidder for the project.
Okay. Motion?
I make a motion that we award the contract for seal coating and striping two coats to Strom. For the program launch ramp parking lot.
Can I get a second for Richard's motion?
Do we need to put the amount in there?
For $19,326.
Thank you. Second.
Thank you, Sharon.
Welcome.
Danielle, roll call, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Good job, Travis, on the extra research, man. Really super good job. Thank you. Very nice. And I hope that when the board questions these biddings, I know every time you bid us a bid, most all the time, one of the commissioners talk about, or all of us, some of us have questions. You've come a bazillion miles in your bidding process and your closes, Travis, it's been really good. And it's just a learning curve for all of us. You got a lot of experience setting up here.
Mm-hmm.
Bear with, please, because you're doing a really super good job.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the really troubling thing about the original set of bids was the wide discrepancy in the amount of square footage.
Very wide.
No, it was.
And when we find out, Travis is telling us they used the Google map instead of coming out here with a tape measure.
Oh, it is. Well, I mean, Oregon State Marine Board has, it doesn't get any better with the engineer drawings. I mean, they're done to scale to, I mean, absolutely everything they needed to do it, they had it. Why they went away with, they're, quite frankly, in my opinion, they're lucky they had an opportunity to even give a rebid for it. So, but they had the opportunity, and I think, you know, we got all the right information here, so.
Very good.
It's no problem at all.
Very good. Okay, any other discussion on the seal coating, Sharon?
No.
Richard? All right. Action item B, procurement for approval report office copier. Gary?
Yeah, the board approved this in the last meeting, but we, after the meeting, the company that we approved the agreement with, they actually found an error in their quote, and it was quite higher. So Brent's the person that was putting all this together. He contacted other companies and found out another company gave us about the same price as the previous one. So we want to switch to another outfit.
And you're okay with it?
Absolutely, yeah. Staff is happy.
Staff's okay with it?
Yep.
Well, understanding this, we're looking at the micro copier for 63 months.
Yes. Yeah, plus the copies.
What's the 63 and the $11?
That's an added feature that staff would like to have. It's an optional paper stack holding. I think it'll hold more paper, process, make more copies without putting more paper in it. It's like $11 per month more. Staff would like to have that.
Printed paper deck. Yeah, sometimes
external.
I couldn't believe how much of a pain in the butt it is to go do a copy and find out you're out of paper. Reloading this thing again.
Better paper than toner. Do they still use toner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They send you toners like the size of a duffel bag now you shove in there.
I never once had to change the toner. I didn't get it on myself somehow.
It's actually better than what it used to be.
Yeah.
That's a lot better.
Is it?
Do any of the commissioners have any objections to going with this different company?
If it's sufficient for the office staff for them to be able to do their job, it's fine.
Can we get a motion to approve the procurement for the approval for office copier?
I'll make a motion to approve proposal quote number one, ORICO IMC 6060 with the optional extra paper deck for a total for 63 months. $223.20 a month.
Can I get a second on Richard's motion?
A second.
Danielle, roll call, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, information items. Information item A is the Indian Memorial Fence. Have I got the proposal?
So I got an email from the Checo Indian Memorial committee, I guess, proposing this fence. And I just want to make sure the board is okay with this fence design that they're proposing. It's a wooden fence. I was kind of anticipating like a chain link fence of some type, but it's a pretty fancy wood fence, looks like to me.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with this wood fence. I just want to make sure the board didn't have a problem with it either. If there was any concern with the board, then I'll relate it to the Indian Memorial.
Well, go ahead.
I don't have any concern over the look of the fence. I just hope they've engineered it for wind load. It's going to be facing that way, so the wind that way will hit it side on, so. Winter time, that could be.
Is the chain link fence coming down? Is that staying?
Yeah, it's a temporary fence. It's panels out there. We just have stakes in the ground holding it up, so yeah, that fence would come down or be removed.
Any discussion from the board? Sharon, any objections?
I have no objections. I know Grizzly Fencing. I know the man that runs that is really good with fencing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the other person, but.
They're not asking for any more room, any more land.
Everything they've done out there has been very kind.
Easement for that wire line.
I just have never seen a statue yet.
You know.
Later, so you still find two years.
Maybe they're afraid to put it out there.
Want to make sure it's all good.
You know, sure, that's a good point. They might be. The Bronx, because it's Bronx.
Statues are going out of vogue, I think.
The what?
Statues are going out of vogue, I think.
Boy, I wish I had a way to make them as fast as they turn them down. Richard, any objections or discussion on the fence?
Looks fine to me.
Okay. Very good. Anything else from the staff?
No, I think once they, I want to respond to him and also remind him that he owes us a survey. He's supposed to give us a survey of that area. And then also we're going to have give him an easement for that water line or some kind of easement type of thing, right, while I go through there. So that's something he still needs to do, and the board actually told him that he needed to do the survey.
Mm-hmm. But there's going to be an easement, absolutely. Thomas?
No.
Good. Okay. Information items B, clam dredge.
All right, I got a call, I think it was yesterday, I sent an email to everybody. Maybe we misspelled the clam as calm.
Calm dredge.
I had a picture of a dredge working very well.
Well, when you said something, I don't know how to dredge it, but when you said calm dredge, I kept my mouth shut because I never heard of a calm dredge.
Maybe I don't know all of them.
Maybe I don't know.
So, yeah, they're coming in. So, I got the call. The Corps of Engineers has contracted with a company, private company, to do this. So, I can't remember the name of the company, but they're supposed to show up on August 11th. Between August 11th and 15th, and hit the areas that your plane can't reach. So, I'm not sure how far in the channel. I know our channel boundaries come into the port a little bit to our receiving docks and stuff, so I don't know if he's going to be coming in there or not. But
it'll depend on what their survey says.
I'm assuming that this is a clamshell bucket on a drag line that's on a barge, probably. Then does it have another barge for the spoils that go on it?
I'm assuming so.
The ones that they've typically brought in here before, yeah, they have a barge that comes right in beside it. And then they pull into it and then they take it out.
It's like Charles Brother filled up with them. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Something along those lines. That's what I've seen here before, yeah.
And that's supposed to be arriving around 11? August 11th.
Through the 15th is when they're supposed to do the work. And they're going to try to get in there and do the work as fast as possible because they got a lot of work all the way up Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They contracted the Corps of Engineers to do everything.
Good.
This period.
What are they digging out?
We don't know. It's unclear where they're going to be dredging. It's where the Ulquina can't get to.
I don't know.
Okay.
So
that whole thing right there,
they just do the channel.
The Ulquina. Right, so they're coming and doing stuff. I assume it would be in our turning base. I don't know, sure.
Bigger area of the beach than where the clinic goes.
Any dredging is good.
Bet.
Any dredging.
It's gonna be a very tricky job right there, cause how you, where do you start?
That's a rough ocean right there beating on that to start out there, and if you start on the inside, you can't get the material out, so. I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know. It's gonna be a tricky one, though.
Well, they need to do something. That estuary has really, really changed.
Oh.
I mean, the nominal depth in that thing has gone from probably 7 or 8 feet up against that south jetty to being bare during low tide. I mean, that much material's been.
I can't believe it hasn't plugged itself out there yet. Forced it somewhere. I can't, every time you go through there, it's like, I went through there the other day and there was nothing but a drip boat in there. Look, I got a drip boat hit each side with his oars. Ah, it's tight.
Listening to you talk today, Travis, you've learned a lot about dredging here lately too, haven't you? Travis has been the dredge operator. He's.
I've learned a lot about dredging
just lately.
One of the.
That's good, though.
One of the things I've learned more of.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of dredging, FEMA contacted me day before yesterday, and they are moving forward fairly fast to giving us the budget to do engineering and permitting for our dredging of our interbasins and repairing our slopes. So, within 2 weeks, we should have the budget. So after that, I got to figure out if we're going to put it out the bid to have an engineer or have Jack Aiken do the engineering for us. So. You always have to look into that, but I'm hoping we get things rolling, be dredging next in water work period, next October. Not this October, too soon, but.
Some big stuff's really happening right now. Really big stuff. It's all coming.
That would be a major check off the list if you get to dredge and get all the docks back in service and everything back to normal and the banks stabilized.
Oh, yeah.
The banks. We're losing a lot of mortgage. Because of the slopes.
There's definitely some money being lost without those. And, you know, the banks will be the biggest one, I think, out of all. Getting our banks to stop letting material down and then be able to clean stuff up with 40,000 yards isn't a bunch, but it's going to get us to depth in some places where we're not.
It'd be nice to hold our heads high, man, to see our port getting actually become real.
Well, just everything that, you know, that Gary has planned, that we have planned for dredging, then putting the spoils, and then reusing that. I mean, there's a lot of stars that got to line up, but they're all realistic stars to line up, so.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
Well, and that's one of those things, again, as soon as this looks like it's going to happen, I would suggest that you do a pretty good job of telling the community, hey.
Exactly.
You're going to go by the kite field someday and be covered with dredge spoil. Not going to stay there forever, but just be ready that that's going to happen. Because otherwise, we'll.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, so August 12th, I'm planning a special meeting. I don't know what your guys' schedules are, but that meeting there, I'm going to be proposing some ideas about the kite field and giving you more information about the dredging spoils and what we need to do with it. So, what's the schedule looking like for you at 12?
I'm pretty sure I'm not planning on going anywhere in August.
Okay.
I will be gone.
But you might call in, though.
We talked about it, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You break away from fishing for a day, half a day, so.
Salmon's over.
Like we discussed the other day, you know, the port is in a box unless we can raise more money. We're kind of dead end. And to do that, you know, it looks to me like we ought to make maximum use of the assets we have, growing grass and mowing it to have a kite festival for 2 days every year. To me, doesn't look like the maximum beneficial use for the port.
For that big piece of property.
For that big chunk of ground. So if there's something else that we can do to that to generate revenue.
And Richard and Sharon, for information, that is the first proposal for that piece of property that's ever been bought to any board, that particular piece of property. There were some proposals out on the dry camping, tent camping area for motels at one time, that can be done because of emergency vehicle access. But that Kyfield has never been written down on a piece of paper as a proposal to do anything other than a dog run and a Kyfield activity, not once. Now we got a proposal this way before, so it would create how much income if that comes to be per year?
Between $100,000 to $250,000 is what I'm figuring.
Well, if everything was equal and we didn't owe a couple million dollars, I wouldn't be all that excited about developing the Kyfield. I wouldn't care one way or the other, but if you're looking at a payout for the loan in 10 years, and you got to figure out how to get there without slashing and burning everything you're doing, you've got to make money off of something new.
Mm-hmm.
If we can put in nine new trailer spaces on the front and figure out something to do with the kite field that's going to generate revenue, that's the only way I can see we're going to get out.
Correct. Creating new revenue is awesome.
The revenue, just moving forward.
That's probably the
key things moving forward.
That's probably the best way to maximize your dollar that you're going to spend. It's creating RV
park sites pay. They do pay.
Oh, I'm telling you, I just got done running all over northern and central Oregon. And I don't know what happened this year, but I've never seen that many people.
You were saying that on the microphone the other night.
Yeah, just trying to drive through Seaside, it took me like 25 minutes just to go through Seaside. People everywhere, RVs.
You think that's going to cease after the first of this month, August?
Well, I don't think so.
People don't feel safe traveling by air or anywhere else. So they don't want to stay
RV
in hotels.
The RV market's
got
to be through the
they
roof
want,
right now.
They feel safer in their own
it's
vehicle. And so
it.
The
yeah.
RVs are way up.
I can't find, I mean, I see a lot of them in certain places. But if you're looking for a specific model, good luck. You may not find it.
Mm-hmm. I look at all the RVs. You go up river, just up to check for every river bar. And just people. RVs the whole way.
Also noticed
definitely a year of camping, I can tell you that. It's
and, well,
biggest
they're
year
on
camping
the river
I've
bars,
seen.
Boats closed.
They're getting a lot bigger, too. Some of the fifth wheels
might be. I was going to the RV park, I was like, oh my God.
And the trucks that are pulling them, they're not getting much bigger. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how those.
They're dumping those Duramax diesels on the Chevy pickups. They're generating like 450 horsepower out of those things.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I had an old one out of 2001, and I could have jerked this building off its foundation with that thing.
In some real estate, I'm going down the road, and it's like, I got to have a commercial driver's license to drive a tractor trailer, then a 48-foot trailer behind me, which I have. But yet, I go to these, with all due respect to my elders, believe me, and I do a lot of camping up down the coast, travel a lot. And here comes this 48-foot bus in there. It's got a 30-foot Wells cargo trailer behind it, and the driver gets out with a walker.
I know it.
Wow.
No special license, no nothing. He's rolling down the road 65 miles an hour, I step on the brakes before I run Roy over. That's like amazing, those laws. But anyway, traffic is in Brookings itself, Richard.
Every time I meet one of those, I think, so the only qualification that guy has for driving that 40,000 pound vehicle, if you can write the check.
That's right.
That's all you need.
Yeah, he passed his driver's
test. Yep. Okay, any further discussion on the clam dredge? Richard?
No.
Commissioner's comments, Richard?
Gosh, what do you want to hear about?
I hear about that prime rib you were talking about the other night.
Oh, tri tip. How's it been? We got a briefing today from the council on an executive order that just came out directing the council to look at its current operations. This is an executive order promoting aquaculture in the American seafood industry.
Is that farming?
Well, it's partially farming, but it's also looking at ways to streamline regulations to, if they're in the way of being able to make a living fishing. So we're tasked with how to figure out what to do with that. So the salmon world, with one exception, there's nothing the council does that needs to change. There is a boundary chain south of Eureka that needs to move 5 miles. And that's already proposed, then it's a safety issue for guys trying to, I don't even know where it is, it's 40-10 right now. And apparently when you're salmon trolling, when you turn to 40-10, you've got to turn into the shoreline to make it work, so they want to move it to 45. We're going to get to comment on federal water law again, hatcheries, maximizing the Michilac hatcheries on the Columbia River, trying to produce salmon. Because we're saying hatcheries are also aquaculture, let's not forget that, it's not just loading net pen, but, so that'll be ramping up by November, they'll have something out on that. And what that'll mean, I don't know yet, well.
It's a big job, Richard. It's a big job to make those decisions, come to those decisions.
Well, it's a big job to try and unfold the layers of bureaucracy that are laying on top of fishermen. I don't know if I told this group or not, but somebody made a comment about fishing, about bycatch on the midwater trawl fishery. And, you know, this big assumption they're killing all these salmon. So I said, you know what? If you put a net in the water, in the Pacific Ocean, there are more independent eyes watching you pull that net than there are in any surgical facility in this country where they're making life and death decisions. But you pull in that load of fish up, and there's a guy sitting in Portland watching you do that, or he's standing on deck watching what's coming out of your net. And I, you know, I just, that kind of regulation drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I get it, I understand why you got to do it, but you know, if I've got a commercial fishing boat and you sell, by the way, you got to pay to take an observer out with you so they can watch you.
Those observers, you got to feed them, shelter them, and pay for them. And they don't even wash a dish, they don't cook a meal.
Oh. And if you
instead of take ear bones out of fish,
you got that little camera looking down, you got to pay for that too.
Correct.
Pay for the satellite uplink to
transmit data. That's right.
The only other thing that's not really germane to us too much is that ODFW is in the process of writing a fisheries management plan for the river south of Elk River for species other than salmon. So that includes steelhead, cutthroat primarily. And we're going through some interesting discussions about catch and release fishing, about retention of wild fish. There are three NGOs on there that are absolutely dead against killing wild fish. So we're trying to fight that, and now they're talking about having these streams called wild fish emphasis areas, which means no hatchery program, which I found out halfway through the process includes salmon. Well, I don't think we're going there, because as part of the PFMC thing, when we did that futuring out 20 years looking at salmon, the only way I could see we would continue fishing salmon here if we lost Sacramento Klamath would be to have terminal area fishery. So when the Chetco fish came back, we could commercial and recreational fish on those. And we also then would want to propose hatchery programs in the Windchuck and the Pistol River, which are big enough to support them, so that we can build the base fish that we can depend on coming back. Otherwise, we're not going to have a fishery. So anyway, that's
a constant battle, isn't it?
Well,
and how long has it been going on? It's been going on for a long, lot of years.
Well, the salmon wars in the Sacramento River have been going on for 50 years. They change every time you change administration, and then you get, you know, because Trump is going to get sued till 20 years from now over what he's done on the Sacramento. So you'll have federal judges making decisions about fisheries management, which is the worst possible outcome you could have. But so anyway, that's the end of my comments.
Richard, thank you for that. Sharon?
No, I've went around and visited some of the tenants, and they're all very pleased with everything, and they feel like they're been taken quite good care of.
Any complaints about special events going away?
None. Zero.
No, none. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, three of our newest tenants, the Pithy Tude, the candy store owners, and the Kathy's Country Store, which that name will be changed to Harbor Corn Market.
All right, Corner Market.
Harbor Corner Market.
Oh, Right.
Didn't mention a word, not, nothing about the events, or when the events are coming back, or anything.
No.
And I think, Richard, what you saw up north with all the people, we're seeing it right here. And our salmon season has a little bit to do with it, I'm sure, but nobody's staying home. These people are out in force in the RV park, everywhere. I think I can safely say I don't think that without any of these events happening on port property this year have hurt any retail business. I think the pandemic has hurt retail business, but I don't think without the events that we've hurt any retail business here. When the people could get out, I really don't. The Pirate Festival, that's a big one, maybe so. But these vendors, and you've probably seen it up and down the coast, maybe all of you have, these things like abandoned kettle corn, these things you see at the fair and everything, food carts, they're everywhere. Because mm-hmm. you walk up and get food and leave. Mm-hmm. So they're also doing marketing strategy. People are figuring out a way to...
Guys with the food trucks didn't know it, but they were on the cutting edge of pandemic response when they opened their food truck.
Yes.
They were ahead of their game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They only knew.
Grabbing coke, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So what I would like to comment on is the big items that are happening. You know, the dredging, work docks coming up. What's the other thing? The work dock? Oh, the RV park?
Fuel dock.
Work dock. Now our dredging.
Fuel dock repair.
Now our inner dredging budget's coming along. And that is due to some some astronomical heads down in that office to our staff. And that's the only reason that's happening. We haven't had that in a long time. I don't know if we've ever had it.
That's testimony to good planning. And good planning is what sets you up to do this kind of stuff, because if you don't have a plan, everything that happens every day is a crisis.
And to stick to that plan.
And it's really hard without a plan to make a decision about, no, we're not even going to do that. We're going to do this because that's what our plan says. This thing over here might be something that sounds fun, but we're just not going to do it right now because we just don't have the money to do it.
And I think, Richard, that's, and Sharon, Gary hasn't had the money. Travis hasn't had the money. Brett, Danielle, none of the staff has had the money. But that hasn't stopped this staff. It's every day they're at work, and now we're starting to see the rewards of their everyday efforts on some really huge projects coming over.
We were just talking about that today. It was like, we had planned this stuff for months.
Yeah, we're not.
We finally got some equipment out there and got some pathways going. Well, I saw Richard out there today. It was like the first time actually going to start happening. We got Zolan's that's going to get demoed, parking lot's going to get fixed over there.
That Noyo boat's going away soon.
Noyo boat's going to go away soon.
Yeah, we're not just plants in a pot now. We're actually going to work.
I had somebody ask me the other day, they said, "What, you guys ever getting that debt taken care of?" I said, "Well, first of all, we know what it is now, and we know how much it costs us a month to pay it off now. And we've got the money set aside to do that.
We know when it'll get paid out.
So I don't know that we've got the debt fixed, but we sure know what we owe, which I think is a pretty major improvement from past years."
Absolutely. Nobody could have answered that question 6-7 years ago, would you?
Well, planning, when you do the budget the way it's done now, so you have the set aside to pay off the debt, that's no different. Me paying my monthly car bill, you know, so you're not doing that. I don't know how you ever figure that out.
Can't. Okay. Any more discussion from the board or the staff? Got any comments?
About 1,600 cars a day going through the RV park for the month of July. 1,600 cars a day.
Yeah. For popular. This place is popular. I mean, and if it's managed and handled correctly, it'll be abandoned one day. It'll be a Newport one day.
That's a lot of cars. That's a lot of people going through, driving anything. That's a lot.
Well, there is. There's a lot of people that drive
through. I go there 4 or 5 times a day at least.
Sometimes four.
I'll get bored at the shop or whatever I'm doing. Set over the beach. No, I don't set it. Just drive through and go back to my shop where I'm bored again.
It's all going to be crucial data, though, when we go back to get more grants. You know, it's like, hey, this is what we're dealing with. This is kind of the peak of beach scenery for Curry County. Everyone comes here.
Well, I
But you have a plan.
Loathe to suggest this, but I keep thinking one of the ways to raise revenue is raise the tax rate. I know that's a.
We've talked about it a lot.
Are you talking about for the port? I'd be all over that.
I think we should.
Well, I don't know.
We have to put that on a ballot though, right, Richard?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we wanna take that on.
Not right now, maybe.
That kind of data, when people say, oh, pay more taxes, do you like to go down to the port? Yeah. Do you have any idea how many cars drive over that pavement every day that we have to maintain? Now, just think about that in a week, how many trips that is over that. And of course, everybody expects that as well. We just take it out of what you already got. Well, we could buy a brand new Ford pickup truck for $7,000 like we could in the '70s, fine. But that doesn't work, so anyway.
And raising the taxes, like we've talked about things like that, but if we're gonna do something like that, it needs to be a good joint public effort that we publicize, you know, get people, we wanna make sure if we do it, we have the people's support and,
You would need the support of the county commission, city of Brookings, most of the.
And have a damn good direction on where you're gonna go with, you know.
With the money?
With some definite concrete things in place that's gonna happen. I don't think it's too far off from going after something like that, but, we just gotta make sure we pick and choose that one carefully, because I think one bad one that we do and we try and get it, it might be the end of raising taxes for another 15, 20 years.
And wait another couple of years after this dredge and some real stuff has been
get
down
some
here.
Real stuff happening down here. Get some people real happy and proud of what they got
they
down here.
Then they see they're getting something for their money.
You bet.
But anyway, okay. We'll announce our next regular meeting date for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020 at 6 p.m. And if there's no further discussion from the staff or the board, we will adjourn this meeting. Meeting adjourned at 3:42, Thursday, July 30th, 2020.